This is About Men Radio. It's not about all men, just us men. I'm a man. I spell M-A.
M. Whoa, man. About Men Radio. This is About Men Radio. You know what we're going to talk about today? I bet you nobody knows what we're going to talk about today because we don't even know what we're going to talk about today. I suggest that we talk about Star Wars, specifically The Force Awakens. And we have a special show today, actually. This might be the very first show we've ever done where the entire posse is together. Am I right?
Yep. Yeah.
All right. That's Silvio. Let's do a roll call. Silvio.
This is Silvio.
And Rich.
All right. This is Rich.
Chris, are you there?
I'm here. I feel like I'm on Romper Room.
Yes, exactly.
I see Billy and Sue and Bobby.
And John.
I never saw Silvio.
There was never a Silvio. There was never a Pedro either.
I know.
No,
hey, John, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. You got it in the microphone hole?
I got the mic in the microphone hole.
Nice. Very nice. So we are in business. All right.
In business.
Let's not even mess around. Lightning round. What did you think of the movie, Chris?
Outstanding. It's unbelievable. I just came today from seeing my fourth time.
All right. Rich?
I thought it was excellent. I thought it was definitely paid homage to the originals and really melded them all together to make one really, really good movie.
Silvio?
Yeah, following up just what Rich said, it just brought us past that travesty that was 1, 2, and 3. took the best from A New Hope, redid it in new great ways to lead on to this new trilogy that we're all looking forward to. It was a fantastic flick.
Father John?
It was a good movie. I liked it. The characters, good seeing everybody again. So
you thought it was good. It didn't blow you away?
Didn't blow me away.
No. Oh, okay. Well, let's start with John then. Well, I personally thought it was a fantastic movie. I thought it was great. You know, as all of you know, I was really concerned going in about how this was going to stack up. I was burned. It's the first Star Wars movie that, actually the second, because I didn't see A New Hope when it first came out the first day, but all the other ones I saw the night before. Right. And this was the second time that I did not see the first showing. So I thought it was fantastic. I thought, like Silvio and Rich and Chris, all of you said, it took the story forward. It paid respects to the previous movies, the 4, 5, and 6, which are the only ones that matter before this one. But John,
Wait a minute. Before you get to John, one thing we got to tell our listeners, and we're going to repeat it a couple of times here, make sure everybody knows, spoilers ahead.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
We are going to talk about this movie, guys who saw it, five geek friends.
That's right.
You know, from way back in the day, we got together. We're going to talk about this movie. We're going to say everything that happened. Spoilers ahead. Don't hold us responsible.
We're going to
show notes.
That's right. We're going to spoil the hell out of this. Spoil it like it's never been spoiled before. Okay, John.
Okay, they've been warned.
Yes, they have been warned. Now, John,
right.
You said you only thought it was good.
Yeah.
The rest of us were blown away by it. I mean, I personally thought it was fantastic. Now, how do you stack it up against the other movies?
Okay. First,
well, real quick, how many times did you see it, John?
I've seen it once.
Okay, round robin, everybody. I saw it twice.
Once for me.
I've seen it four times.
Yeah, I'm set up to see it with my wife and then again with my daughter. So I'm going to see it at least two more times.
Excellent.
Okay, okay. And then how did you guys see it? I saw it in IMAX 3D.
Yeah, I saw it in IMAX 3D too.
Yeah, IMAX. Chris has seen it in every format. He even bought one of those like cams off the street from the Chinese lady in the deli.
I watched actually the virtual reality.
That's
version.
Right. He was in the middle of it. He was in the middle of it. Listen, so John,
right.
I'm intrigued. You only thought it was good. How did it stack up for you against the other movies?
Okay. Well, my favorite is still Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
My second choice is Star Wars A New Hope, Episode 4. This is my third favorite.
Okay.
I'm going to go to one of the prequels and say Revenge of the Sith.
Wow.
It's my fourth choice.
Wow.
John, you're channeling me, John.
Oh, really? You kind of feel the same way, Rich?
Yeah, but I thought the movie was excellent. I mean, I liked the way it brought in the old characters and started up this new story. And There's a lot that, you know, John is saying this should be eight. Yeah, yeah, there's a hell of a lot in between that we don't know about, and I'm sure they will catch up.
That's exactly my point. I think I love that. I love that they threw you in the middle of it, and they're going to fill in the backstory.
But then call it eight, don't call it seven.
No. They'll have plenty of other.
Yeah, I think it's. I think it makes perfect sense. Forms of entertainment
that it's going to go into.
I think it works really well because you're peeling onions away. You're trying to figure out who this Poe Dameron guy or Cameron. What is it, Poe Dameron?
Dameron.
With a D.
Yeah.
And you know, Finn. All of a sudden, this guy comes up and he's wielding a lightsaber like a Jedi. And Rey, she's got that whole mystery behind her and all that. So how did? Yeah, she is adorable. Now, how did your movie stack up, Rich?
So I'm leaning with John. I still have Empire is my number one. Number two is New Hope, and then number three will be The Force Awakens. And the only reason why I'm just saying that is because it relies so much on New Hope and stuff like that to build that story. So, but definitely it was a much better story building and telling than some of the previously filmed additions to this series I won't mention.
I mean, let's be honest. The acting overall,
and the script and just the story itself it really flowed very well together. Because I recently watched a lot of the prequels, and oh my god, it was painful.
They're brutal. They're just brutal. They're abominations, especially the second one. The second one
is the Trade Federation in this one.
Oh, don't even start, John. I'll crawl through the Skype line and smack you in the neck. Trade Federation said we're no midichlorians. No midichlorians. No really annoying little toe-headed freaks. And plus, even better, no virgin births. That was the best part of this. Best part of it. No, seriously. Not that we know of, exactly. Yeah, don't even start. Don't freak me out now. Don't freak me out. Chris, you've seen it like a bazillion times already.
This I've seen it four times. I went at 1 o'clock in the morning on Friday, the 18th, to see it in Times Square. It just gets better and better with each viewing. I had seen all six leading up to this in the past probably month and a half. And to me, this far and away is the best of the bunch. And even before I launch into that, I would even just maybe perhaps make an argument that there's a difficulty in comparing this and putting it in a ranking with all the others, much as that Star Wars and Empire and to some degree Jedi were movies of their time, and even to some extent, so were the prequels. It might be a little bit unfair to try to stack these all. Because let's be honest, New Hope is almost 40 years old.
Right.
So there's been humongous advancements in the CG and storytelling and all things like that. And of course, Force Awakens is, you wouldn't have Force Awakens without New Hope. So I think there are some caveats there that you might want to take into consideration. But all of that said, I thought the acting, I thought the storytelling, the pacing, the sense of humor, all of that packaged in this was just superlative to the other ones. I actually thought, I was very surprised when I watched Empire probably about 2 weeks ago. It didn't hold up quite as well as I remembered. I mean, it's still great. Don't get me wrong, but I don't know. It was something that maybe was showing its age a little bit or something. So I would say Force Awakens, Empire, New Hope, and then probably a tie between, the third prequel and Jedi. And certainly, the rest of the prequels just fall down at the bottom somewhere. I just thought that this really had a lot of resonance. I mean, honestly, saw it four times. Every single time I choked up at the same spots, still jumped out of my seat at the assassination of Han Solo, even though I knew it was coming.
Oh,
and the other thing is, I will also tell you, on repeated viewings, there are more and more hints that come out that you don't catch on the second or third viewings.
Many Easter eggs in there that you don't catch right away, because you'd have to watch those older movies over and over and over again to get a lot of the references. I mean,
apparently they're very subtle too. They're like a lot of music cues and stuff.
Yeah.
Like is Rey holding and putting on Luke's helmet?
Yeah.
Well,
for instance,
I did hear a couple of things and it's not Luke's helmet.
I wasn't sure with the writing on the side.
They've looked at the writing on the side and it's somebody else. They even named it, but I don't remember the name, but it's not Luke's.
Okay.
That's pretty frightening that they could actually identify it by name. That is really frightening. I'm sorry, man.
There's a couple of things. For example, that freaky looking Rebel with the weird face. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what alien it was. And Chris, you've seen it four times, so you probably know which one I'm talking about.
But yeah.
If you freeze it, and I don't know how these guys have frozen it because it's still not online anywhere that I know of. Or maybe it is. But anyway, and you zoom into the guy's helmet, and there's a line there from one of J.J. Abrams' favorite Beastie Boys albums.
Yes.
Really? Yeah. And they kind of blurred it into, you know, like some weird font of some alien language. But if you look at it, Pedro, you know the names of the albums better than I do. I was never a Beastie Boys fan. Something Ill. And that's on the side of his helmet. So, you know, there's those things as well.
That's too cool. I'm sorry. That's very cool.
JJ often does that. He incorporates his friends.
Oh, yeah. Big
alien songs and stuff, you know, to that in Star Trek.
JJ, you're on a first name basis with him? I like it.
And again, I mean,
John and JJ hanging out, you know.
Tommy Cormley again, you know. So the same filmmaking crew that produced Star Trek 2009 comes back together for Star Wars 7, The Force Awakens.
Hey, John, can you get me on the set of his next movie?
Yeah. Sure.
Sure.
John Swang's Hollywood style. Hollywood Swangin'.
You know, I've listened to and read a lot of critiques of the movie. And I know, you know, we've discussed this informally among us. And John's complaint is that there was a lot of unanswered questions. And I think that's actually part of the attraction and the beauty of this movie, because it does set up. I mean, considering the two more films to still come, at least in this lineage. But also consider, I mean, at the end of Empire, we had like 50 million questions about what was coming next and what happened to Luke and what, you know, and about Darth Vader and Han Solo and all, you know. I mean, so I think my fingers are crossed that the eighth installment will be as good as this one in a year and a half.
And answer a heck of a lot more questions. And
but listen, to your point, Chris, the fact is that not only did they brilliantly set up the sequels, but they also brilliantly set up the interim movies that are filling in the backstory, like Rogue One and all that other stuff. I think that's why this really worked well for me. It was up against so much pressure, not only against old fans, but it had to move the storyline along. It had to set up the sequels. It had to set up the interim movies. There was the specter of Lucas over this whole thing. I mean, the fact that this guy, J.J. Abrams, or J.J. for John, John's homeboy, J.J., that this guy actually pulled it off to such an amazing extent is just mind-blowing to me. The guy worked a miracle, man. He worked a miracle. There's no other way to describe it. The movie stands on its own.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, it pushes forward the storyline. It satisfies us old-time geeks. I mean, it satisfies the uber geeks. Just amazing. I am completely blown away by this whole thing. Completely blown away. But beyond being blown away, I still want to get Silvio's list. How does it stack up for you, Silvio?
Just like everybody, the consensus, you know, Empire, still number one. Chris kind of mentioned it, or I think Rich mentioned a second ago, that on second viewings or, you know, recent viewing, it may not have held up for certain things, but as far as story of picking us up, putting us into that and making us see a dark side of what happens when the rebels don't win and giving us all these new questions to be answered in yet a third movie coming up, which I want to take us back to 1977 and then 1979. Sequels were a thing, one and two, but these franchises with multiple movies, Friday the 13th, multiple movies, they didn't come out yet. The Halloween movies, all these 8, 9, and 10, or 4, 5, and 6 even parts, that wasn't part of what we saw as our movie viewing things.
True.
For example, A New Hope was a story that finished. There was maybe one question, did Darth Vader survive? Right. But it could have been one of those questions that if it was never answered, the movie ended, they got their medals, great. Boom, we move on.
There was close.
The end of it.
Right. Then they brought Empire, and then they realized, hey, we've got something going on here. And in that movie, they said, okay, here's all these questions to be answered at the next movie. And now we know that this movie that we just saw, Force Awakens, is the start of a new trilogy. Unlike A New Hope or even Empire, back then we weren't expecting this franchise.
Right.
Force Awakens asked a lot more questions than A New Hope ever did.
Sure.
But that's what we wanted. We wanted a story that gave us a little bit of an ending and gave us something moving forward. And Abrams conducted that perfectly.
Yes. And right. What Pedro said before, it's not even going to be just a trilogy. This is going to be a whole shebang of stories and movies and
let's call it
possible TV series. And especially now with Netflix and Hulu and all producing this kind of stuff. It's
a money making thing, and that's fine. Take my money, but give me a good story. I'll pay you as much as you want for a good story over and over again. Chris did it 4 times already, and he's going to do it a few more times. And I know we're all going to do it a few more times.
Yeah, guaranteed.
J.J. Abrams, he did it for Star Trek, and he did it for Star Wars.
He did it for Star Trek.
That is incredible.
It's amazing, man. It's amazing. The guy's a pop culture god. There's no question.
You got to put him on a pedestal.
The time when Star Wars A New Hope came out, it wasn't with the thought of having prequels and sequels and everything.
Oh, not at all.
It was a standalone product. Now,
yeah, because it almost didn't get made.
Right. Didn't even get its funding.
George Lucas didn't even attend the premiere. He felt it was going to bomb. Everybody was telling him this is not going to go any further than this. He was in Hawaii when Star Wars premiered in May of 1977, sitting out there with his friend Steven Spielberg, and they started talking, and they came up with the idea for Raiders of the Lost Ark. But he was not confident that Star Wars was going to go anywhere.
Wow, that's amazing. I never heard that story. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's absolutely amazing. Okay, my list is pretty much along the same lines as Chris's, I guess. I put TFA on top. I think it is, and granted, I understand that to Chris's point and to Silvio's point that they're different movies, different times, but just from an overall Star Wars experience, as a Star Wars fan, lover of all things Star Wars, I was completely enamored by it from soup to nuts. It satisfied every single Star Wars Jones. And I know for a fact, both my kids are going to love it. It is the quintessential Star Wars movie. It was made by a super fan. If we had the talent to make a movie like that, that's the movie we would make. Period. End of story.
We do have the talent. We just don't have the money.
Exactly. That's true. That's absolutely true. All right. Let's dive into the movie itself.
But before we go anywhere, getting back to my experience seeing the movie, on a Christmas Eve, I went online and reserved my tickets for Christmas Day. And I took a later in the afternoon, 4 o'clock showing IMAX, figured, you know, give everyone a chance to open presents and get settled and go out to the movies. We get there and there's like a whole lot of people outside. I was like, oh, don't tell me this is the line just to get into the theater. And I get there, no one's moving. And the guy's like, power's out.
Oh,
close. You gotta be kidding me. So, of course, you know, being a New Yorker, you know, I walk up to the front door and have to see this for myself. They have signs up that the power's out, that they're closed. But there was lights on inside and there was a guy outside talking to people. And it seems that the power did come back on. But it's amazing technology. Power was back on. But a lot of these movies these days, they don't have film anymore.
No, they don't.
It's all through the satellite and internet. That the digital stuff gets downloaded, and that hadn't come back up yet.
Wow. They don't have it on a hard drive. They actually have to stream it.
I don't know. I mean, I guess depends on the movie, but whatever. There was a line for my showing standing outside with people with tickets, and supposedly we were set. You know, as soon as they let us in, we were able to see the movie, which was great.
Oh, good.
That's so awesome. It kind of worked out because then when we got in there, there was no one in the theater yet. So we just sat wherever we needed. Yeah, we got the best seats we could get. So.
Well, you know, what was interesting when I went in Midtown on 40 Deuce to see the movie, the IMAX gave you assigned seatings, which I thought was brilliant. It makes perfect sense. And I mean, because I could imagine there'd be fist fights breaking out.
Right, right. And then coming out of the theater, I had a reminiscence of Pedro when we left, what was it, Empire Strikes Back or whatever?
Yeah, that
he came and started screaming to the crowd. So here I'm leaving, and I see the queue of the next people coming in. It's like, no, Rich, don't do it.
Well, did you hear about the guy who got beat up for doing that?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Can we talk about the movie now?
Sure.
Go right
Absolutely.
All right. First and foremost, Ray. Ray, mysterious Ray. She obviously has an enormous force capability. Who do we think she is?
Luke's daughter. I think she's Luke's she's daughter.
She's definitely daughter of Luke.
Now, you know what? I think...
I don't know.
No, no, dude, Luke's think mom. About this. Think about okay. this. Think about this. Luke is a monk.
I have to think.
He's a, yeah, exactly. I'm forcing you to think. I personally think, since this movie was almost identical to A New Hope...
Right, then you think
it's the whole twins, Luke and Leia. They dropped her off on the planet because you see what I'm saying. You see where I'm going. You smell what I'm cooking.
I smell what you're cooking.
Dude, and they left her. What was she like? 10 at the time?
With that? Yeah, not even.
Not even.
Guy? Not even. She was little.
No, they don't show. No, no, they don't show you. They don't show you. They don't show you who they left her with. It's just a hand.
That's true. Yeah.
Well, I think this. I'm just listening to a podcast where they were dissecting this, and there's a couple of theories. One is, that she's Luke's daughter, because it's J.J. Abrams. The obvious answer is probably not the answer because it's probably some sleight of hand and some distraction he's trying to insert into the storyline.
Right.
The other is that she is the offspring of Han and Leia, which I don't buy. Right. I just think that's unlikely. The third is
actually she's Chewie's daughter.
She's
he likes her.
She's kind of hairy.
Got a hairy back. Yeah. We just haven't seen it yet. And those bicuspids, that overbite is just tremendous.
Absolutely.
But the other is that she is the offspring of some characters yet to be introduced. The one thing, I mean, there's no question. I think, she is more than just simply quote unquote force sensitive. I mean, clearly she has the power and the control of the force in ways that we haven't seen in a long time. I do think one theory was put forth is that minimally she was a student of Luke's at the Jedi Temple or training school or the academy before everything shit the bed haywire. Then there's even like another theory that says she's the granddaughter or some offspring of Obi-Wan. I had first subscribed to the theory that she was Luke's daughter, but I'm actually backing away from that because it's too obvious.
That's a great thought. Because think about that, Kylo Ren's knights or whatever it was killed all of those supposedly new Jedis.
Right.
Right. Yeah, you're right. At that point, she was saved by taking her away. But then she wouldn't be the twin because Kylo Ren was already older.
Now, I still think she's the twin. Because you got to understand, she can't be Luke's kid only because the Jedis couldn't get married.
Yeah, but Anakin had kids.
Anakin had kids because he,
He
went maybe outside.
Luke did the same thing.
No,
he got horny.
No way. Yeah, exactly. The second movie. That was my subtitle for the second abomination.
His sister. He couldn't go after his sister anymore.
What is it? Attack of the Clones? No, not Attack of the Clones. It was Attack of the Chubby.
Yeah.
Attack of the Chubby.
Yeah, man. This guy got, he started feeling that itch.
Couldn't keep it in his pants.
Keep it in his pants. No, seriously. I don't think it's Luke's. I definitely feel that they're going to go the route of the whole twins, light and dark in the same family. That would be the way I would go.
Well, here's one thing that I think is they're going to bring into this at some point. At one time, the Jedis were quite a few. There were, maybe a couple of hundred different Jedis, but they all got killed, Order 66 or whatever.
Right.
Then they start to amass them again, and Kylo Ren kills them off. The Force has to be strong through either the dark side or the light side, but through bodies that can work with the Force. The less of them that there are, the stronger the Force is in those few individuals that are left.
That's true.
That's why Rey was so strong so quickly, because there aren't that many around there. Luke's standing out there in that island somewhere, probably been standing there for the past 15 years waiting for somebody to show up. And what's left is Rey, Finn, who obviously picked up something because he was feeling that thing pretty well.
He's force sensitive, I think.
Yeah. Even Kylo Ren, he doesn't have enough of it. He's punching himself in his wound there just to get the dark side angry enough so that he could project something.
Right.
if you have few people that are force sensitive, the force can be very strong through those that are.
But what about the argument about balance? That there has to be a balance between the good,
the force,
and the dark, the good and evil. Side,
yeah.
Because I mean, and now the thing is, again, getting back to the whole point about Rey and Kylo Ren, the whole thing about Star Wars from the second movie on, not necessarily New Hope, is that it became a Shakespearean tragedy. This is about a family
that's torn.
Exactly. That's torn from its very, it's an opera, man. It really is. So the idea that maybe Rey is Han and Leia's daughter isn't all that outside the realm of possibility if they want to keep that whole tragedy thing going. But Chris, you haven't really weighed in beyond just saying what the podcast is, but what do you think?
Well, I want to just actually touch back on one. Somebody said that they thought that Finn was force sensitive, and I don't subscribe to that.
Really?
Well, merely because I think it would be a little bit, I don't know, too hackneyed or just like sort of diluting the power of the force, if you will, if like suddenly everybody's got a taste of it.
Right.
I mean, I think if you look at the way he handled the lightsaber, he did it as sort of a trained military person would, yeah, I think.
Would handle a weapon, yeah. Yes.
Very right, but he also got owned by Kylo Ren.
He got cut up his spine.
Yeah, exactly. He got his ass whooped. So
let's call it what it is. He got fucked up.
Yeah, he did. Big time. So I don't think he's got the force sensitivity or awareness. I mean, because even if you look at sort of almost the almost borderline pejorative way, not even pejorative, but almost ignorant way he talks to Han Solo before they raid the base. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, we'll just get the force to work for us. And Han Solo wheels on him. He's like, the force doesn't work that way, you ninny. You know, it's like, we got people depending on us. Yeah. You know, it's like that. It's that hilarious line where when Han Solo says to Chewbacca, oh, and you're cold. It was hilarious.
Yeah, you're cold. Yeah.
That was the other thing. That movie was funny as hell.
But the thing is,
it was funny as hell.
Not to get too far off the mark, but I mean, that first of all, it had many, many more humorous moments in it than I think any of the other movies did. I thought the depiction of the violence was much more real and less cartoonish.
Yeah.
I mean, there was recoil on the blasters. Stormtroopers got thrown backwards. People got bowled over. There was blood, which we never saw before. And people got hurt. People didn't just get simply frozen in carbonite. I mean, people got slashed, gashed, impaled, all kinds of stuff. So I think, just going back, I don't think Finn has got that force sensitivity thing. I think he's obviously aligned, and he's kind of part of the cadre of people who are being introduced to it, et cetera. But
let me throw something out there. And Chris, you bring up a great point, and I can follow that. But remember that Rey touched the lightsaber.
The lightsaber.
All of a sudden,
see, I need to see this movie again.
So there is something about a lightsaber.
It calls for her.
Like Obi-Wan said in A New Hope, what he said about that weapon. And she touches it and gets all these visions.
So visions and flashbacks.
That here is this noble person, Finn, picks up that lightsaber.
I don't think he got that.
Activates it. Maybe he's not force sensitive, but there's something about the force working with the lightsaber itself. That if that person wielding it, I'm sorry, is noble,
right? Well, obviously
he can get a couple of shots, and he can stay in a fight a little bit.
It's like the hammer of Thor here. What the hell's going on here?
It's only a few people that can pick that thing up.
That's true.
Finn again, he's a stormtrooper, so he's trained, but he's not a Jedi. He's picking up the lightsaber as though it was a weapon. So I don't believe he's any kind of force-sensitive being. Now, coming from that movie, I was thinking that Rey and Ben were siblings, but then Leia or Han would have realized that. They would have said, we had a daughter once or something. It would have been maybe like a line to that effect.
How else do you explain then, like, she's suddenly dragooned on Jakku? Right. And there's no mention of her by Han or Leia.
She's waiting for
waiting for her family to come back.
And Maz tells her, you know that the people who you're waiting for are not coming back. Your future is not in your past, but going forward. Okay. And like Han and Leia are like, bring our son back, bring our son back. And like, if there's a daughter, she can just go sit on and spin. she can go twist in the
good
wind.
Point. Good point.
Maybe she was trained, maybe she wasn't, or maybe there's some distant lineage with Obi-Wan. I don't know. But I just you know, on like the fourth viewing and listening and reading and reflecting on some more of this, I just think it's I would rate it as a 1 in 10 chance that she's Luke's daughter.
Right. I know, because it's so obvious. That's what they're making you think, but
it's one of those red herrings.
Exactly.
What the hell's going on with these Jedi's? Just pumping their seed all over the place. What's
well,
going
they're
on?
Just they're just wielding those lightsabers, baby.
Hey, man.
What are they,
hey,
freaking NBA players? What the hell's going on?
Catholic priests.
Catholic priests.
Well, Luke was Ren's teacher before Snow, you know, the Snow character, I guess, whisked him away. So it was kind of like teaching him kind of how Obi-Wan took Anakin under his wing. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, these are all answers. Hopefully that will come out in the...
Yeah, Ren, dark side. He's just a freaking anger...
He's a raging little kid is what he was.
Raging little kid, yeah.
Yeah.
That's some anger issues, man.
Let me just throw something out that, this is from a podcast I just listened to, the Slash Film Podcast, Slash Movie Film Podcast. But, and that is, they were throwing out a theory, as far-fetched as it was, that Snoke is somehow Rey's, like somehow Snoke is her like father or grandfather, that there's some lineage connection there between, you know, the balance between the light and the dark, and that because he takes such an unnatural interest in her,
right?
You know, bring the girl to me. And he's like sort of amazed out at how Ren was outgunned by her. And I mean, I think, you know, Ren is like surprised by how strong she is in the Force, and he's sort of outgunned in some regards. So I don't think, like, you know, if he was a brother to her, I think there would be some, like, you know, moment of recognition between right. them. And there's like no hint of that at all.
Mm, right.
True.
I read that they thought like Snoke was Darth Plagueis, that he actually.
Yeah, I heard that too.
I've been hearing that rumor heat up a little more online too. There's
I
some
hope
reference.
That doesn't come through.
Well, no, there's some reference to the music or something that they went a really long way for it. And I'm like, you guys are just grasping at straws. Yeah. But
I want 1 through 3 to be kind of like this thing in the background, that like this foggy thing, but I don't want anything concrete to come out of
it's
that.
Just an unfortunate
that whole Darth Plagueis crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to have to agree with that. I'm definitely going to, cause they went out of their way to completely ignore everything.
Pretty much.
Everything.
Yeah.
They didn't make one. I think they made one reference to the clones. That was it.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That was it. Nothing else. And actually, you know what, Chris, you made a point about the violence. I was thinking about comparing it to Clone Wars. Clone Wars is pretty gosh darn violent when you look at it. I don't let my kids watch some of the episodes because
you're talking what's on TV.
Yeah. What's on TV.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, the cartoons. Yes.
Clone Wars.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in terms of, in the movies, though, like if you go back to the original Star Wars or even Empire.
Oh, yeah. Compared to the movies, there's no difference. This is like night and day. And
right.
I think that's the most striking difference in terms of it's a little grittier. This movie compared to the other ones, even grittier than Empire Strikes Back, because Empire had a real gritty vibe to it.
Yeah.
Switching gears here, getting back to the Snoke character. What do we think besides this Darth Plagueis thing? What is up with this guy?
Well, let's take a look at his face. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy has been scarred by somebody.
Right. Yeah, he's got a gash in his
he's
head.
He's got half his face missing on one side. He's got this big, thick scar coming up, you know, his right side. Those are lightsaber wounds. Was he in a fight with Luke?
Right.
This guy actually was in a fight with somebody, and he's got a bone to pick.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that his backstory is going to get filled in.
I would think so.
How did he become Emperor?
So. Mm-hmm. He's Darth Sidious. You know, he went down and he...
No. I don't think he's Sidious.
If we have to go back and reference 1, 2, and 3, which I do very hesitantly, yes. You know, remember, they were always talking about balance of the Force and everything. Yeah, and if you think about the balance of the dark side and the light side, back then, I mentioned it earlier, there were over 100 Jedis, yet there's only 2 Sith.
A master, and
that's the balance. So, man, how much power does the dark side wield to balance against 100 Jedi?
That's a good point. It's very,
and you know, and they said Yoda even said it. There's always only two, you know, a master and an apprentice.
Well, yeah, but then if you look at it, they did wield an enormous amount of power. I mean, Yoda was the only one who could really stand up to them, and barely.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, it would stand to reason that these two guys equal 200 Jedi. It's quite possible.
Well, I'm hoping they just forget about all of that.
I am absolutely hoping they forget about all that, too, because it makes the brain hurt. It seriously makes the head hurt.
Yeah. There's a dark side and there's a light side.
That's it.
There's good people and there's bad people. And there'll be people that look like they're good people, but they're really bad. And there's people that are bad that are probably good. And that's the whole thing.
In a nutshell.
Yeah.
In a nutshell. Forward. Can they get away from the Death Star thing? You know, it's.
Oh, God. Yes, man.
Oh, that's the third iteration of some planet killing big machine.
Yes. So it gets bigger and bigger each time, but.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I just want to step back for a minute from kind of the canon and the folklore of Star Wars and just talk about the movie itself. And I absolutely think it does stand on its own. As some proof of that, I mean, we went today with my nephews, the oldest of whom is 12, and he's not. I mean, he's seen maybe like New Hope, but that's about it. He hasn't, you know, he's not like a Star Wars geek and, you know, and all that. But he thought the movie was awesome. He was really into it on its own merits. I know there are all kinds of complaints about too many callbacks and like, geez, you know, couldn't the First Order do better in creating, you know, the Death Star or planet killer minus the fatal flaw?
Always the one flaw. Always the one flaw.
There's no question there's all these callbacks, but in so many ways, and I think this circles back to something that Pedro was saying earlier, I think J.J. Abrams was brilliant in pressing the reset button on this franchise because, and Pedro has spoken of this, we were all so scarred by what George Lucas did.
Oh, Lucas killed it.
Yeah, really. I mean, you know, I mean, the third installment of the prequels was the best of the bunch, but the first two prequels were just so god awful that JJ really needed to like press the reset button and say to the audience, to the fans, and to the public as a whole, Star Wars is back. The Star Wars that you knew and loved and that you embraced as a 12-year-old, 13-year-old kid in 1977 is back. And to a newer generation who are picking it up for like the first time that they are able to embrace it. I mean, I just thought, honestly, the dogfight scenes were phenomenal.
Yeah. Nowhere near as kinetic as as in the prequels either.
Right.
Both the dogfights and the lightsaber battles. And it wasn't a problem. You know, we didn't need the flips and the, you know, the doohickeys and the jumping off. Like, we didn't need it.
Right. It was very much a strength versus strength kind of thing. I've listened to all the criticisms and about why is R2-D2 kind of like in suspended animation until the right time. And all of it to me is just small beer. I didn't get away in the way of the narrative or the movie. I've enjoyed it at every single turn. I pick up new little things in the background. And I'm just dying for, you know, the next installments, including Rogue One, which is going to be about, you know, less than a year from now.
Yep. Yeah, Rogue One. That's going to necessitate a whole new order of watching because now we got to watch Rogue One first and then New Hope.
Let me ask you a question. That stormtrooper that was battling Finn when Finn had the lightsaber.
Oh, that was badass, man.
And okay, what the hell was that made out of?
I don't know what it was.
I thought the lightsaber can cut through anything.
I don't know.
But see, I think that's proof of how Finn was not that adept at wielding the lightsaber, because you're right. I thought, like, you know, if he really knew what he was doing, he'd be able to slice that thing in two, but that guy completely overpowered him.
Yeah. Hey, that guy was a badass.
Yeah. But I don't think they ever crossed swords, so to speak. Of course.
Did they? I mean,
all right, Chris, you've seen
it. Go back and look. I mean, he's slamming on that back and forth.
Chris, put on the screen cam that you got from the the Chinese lady.
Yeah.
I don't think that I think you're correct. They did whatever that device was, which was like sort of like a gigantic stun gun or something.
It was like a taser.
Because it's ultimately that's what is Finn's undoing, and he's on the ground when Solo gets off the shot and takes down the stormtrooper who's about to, you know, put Finn down.
Right.
No, and again, I just think Finn is not that adept at using the lightsaber by evidence of the fact that he didn't take this guy down.
Right.
You know, and the one time you see Finn actually using it effectively, I'll use in air quotes, is when he impales this other stormtrooper. And it's just sort of like by brute force. It's nothing elegant with the lightsaber. And so to me, that just speaks to like, oh, wow, look at this new toy I have. I'm trying to figure out how to work it, you know.
Hey, look
at
what it can do.
Exactly. You know, it's a wonder, you know, Finn doesn't lose some fingers in the process. So I think it speaks to how Finn is not one with the force and that he picked up the lightsaber is just sort of incidental to the story, but does not speak to a connectivity between him and the Force and the lightsaber.
All right. Well, this is a supersized episode. Right. And I want to start wrapping it up soon. But we need to discuss the elephant in the room.
Jabba the Hutt.
Looking around.
Jabba the Hutt. No.
Oh, God.
Han Solo getting offed. What did we think of it? John, what did you think of that?
Well, I knew it was going to happen. I mean, it was reminiscent of Luke and Darth when they, when that little, you know, and I was just like, oh, don't tell me he's going to kill his father.
No, and, no, it was actually more reminiscent of Ben Kenobi, the whole.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah,
and I mean, if you look at New Hope, that Ben Kenobi dies, he was like a father figure to Luke.
Exactly.
So there's that patricide that sort of linkers through.
That's what I'm saying. The whole Shakespearean thing, man.
Yeah.
It's all Shakespearean.
You know, but it's like there's that moment that Ben could sort of come back home, and instead he embraces the dark side and kills his father. And
that was a great scene.
For all of us, that, you know, that was probably where Chris was tearing up again. You know, I'm sure the rest of us had a tear in our eye as well.
No, I didn't. I was sweat. My eyes were sweating.
From the glasses.
Right, the glasses.
Yeah, I think as soon as his hand walked down that plank, I was like, I don't know. I know he has hope to bring his son home, but it's not going to end nicely.
I could tell just from the way they featured Han Solo, like he was literally the star of the movie besides Rey. You know what I mean?
Right.
They everything was like, oh, I'm home the whole night. It's like, yeah, this dude's getting offed. He's getting whacked, totally getting whacked. I could tell from the moment he walked in, but it worked for me again because of the whole Shakespearean vibe of Star Wars, because of the Ben Kenobi thing, because of the Darth Vader thing. It's about fathers and sons, man. That's what this whole movie, this whole series of movies is all about, family, man. That's all it's about. It's not about lightsabers and dogfights. It's about family. And this is why that was more emotional for me, because it was like, wow, you know, you thought for a brief instant. And again, it gets back to the acting. For a brief instant, all of us in that theater pretty much know, of course, he's not going to survive. But that dude sold it, man. You briefly thought, holy shit, maybe he's going to, that's it. He's going to go over there. Zoop. He's dead. You know what I mean?
Here's how I felt about it. Just like everybody in the room, all of us guys, we looked at him approaching that catwalk, and there was that feeling in the pit of our stomach.
Oh, absolutely, man. No question.
Uh-oh. We're like, and all of us, you know, thinking along terms of story and along terms of, you know, just an actor saying, I'm done. This is where I want to be going out. And I'm looking at it like, oh, no, this is going to be one of those hero deaths. But they did such a great job, because when he approached Kylo Ren and he took off his helmet, he dropped it. And it was very dramatic, that drop. Boom.
Yeah.
And you could see in his face that he was this confused kid.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
And here's his father. Right. And at that moment, I'm like, oh, there's some hope. And even when he handed over the lightsaber, if you look at his hands, Kylo Ren's hands are, they're not gripping it like there's still some tension here. They were open. He was handing it over. And then all of a sudden, the sun went away. And I remember looking down to my daughter and saying, uh-oh, the light went away. And my daughter looked at me like, what? And we both looked up at the same time and saw that zap. And there was an audible gasp in the whole fucking theater. I mean, it was just so great, because we all got suckered in.
Everybody in that moment, same theater.
Just like Pedro said, the acting was so good. Everything about it, the editing and everything, showing that, yes, he was handing it over. He was going to come off that catwalk together. And no. Bang. That was great.
No, dude, it's funny you say that, man. There was a complete audible gasp. And by the way, Chris is crying right now. That's why you don't hear him. He's bawling like a baby right now.
Well, the truth is actually, you know what? The thing when Solo dies, I actually never cried at that point. The points where I got teared up was, you know, the Leia and Han theme when they are reunited the first time. And there's this sort of this quiet, very touching moment of all things when Chewbacca goes to hug Leia. You know, it was just and you know, there was like and also the other scene is when the X-Wing fighters come, like the cavalry, and you just see them coming across the lake in the distance. I mean, I was just like, you know, like just want to get out of my chair and go, yeah.
I admit, I got a catch in my throat when the X-Wings were flying over the water. Yeah. That was pretty amazing.
Yeah, and you could see the wake in the water. That was
exactly crazy. Exactly.
Cough, cough. Wuss.
Wuss. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
No, I'm a dude. I teared up like crazy when Han Solo bit it. I was like, holy shit. I gasped. I cried.
I was in such shock that I didn't have a chance. Yeah. I was sweating to come out of my eyes. But the moment he touched his son's face and then he fell off.
Yeah, man. That's what got me, bro. That's it. He was like, oh, why the
fuck? You know, we're parents.
Yeah, man.
Feel like
hell yeah,
you know,
bro.
At the last moment, even though our kid is killing us, it's still our kid,
dude. And man,
it's
still our kid. That ripped my heart.
And then
out,
you pull down that catwalk, and it was like
ripped.
And then they switched to Leia. She felt it. You know, she knew when.
Yes, Han died. Yes,
yeah. And here's another thing: that cry that Chewie yells out.
Oh yeah,
man.
Cry from Empire when they freeze Han.
Yeah, man. But this one was no. This
Chewie
one was
went through
worse.
It twice.
Yeah, but this was even worse, man.
Oh, it's worse.
This was even worse. This one made me go like, "Oh my god!" Yeah. And then he starts blasting the shit out of everything.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, that was pretty heavy.
And he put a pretty good shot on Kylo Ren, which explains why. You know, people were saying, well, you know, if he had been trained by Luke, why didn't he just beat down on Rey? He was mortally wounded by this thing that was showing us absolutely. That once you got shot by it, you went back, you know, like, you know, knocked down. Like,
yeah, they went out of their way. They went out of their way to show you.
Stormtrooper got hit by Chewie's crossbow.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah, because Han turns to him and says, I like this.
Yeah, exactly.
It blew that guy
so
right
here's
back.
Kylo Ren, a guy who's strong in the Force, and he takes one right in the side right there, right in the upper hip or whatever. Yep. Okay, it didn't kill him, but you know it definitely
it's hurt.
That's a great point.
That's going to leave a scar.
That's going to leave a mark. Definitely. That's going to leave
and
a mark.
And that's why he couldn't just kill Rey outright.
He was hurting.
A fair fight at that point.
Nice. All right, guys, we're going to have to wrap this up. I'm assuming
we can talk for another two hours.
We can definitely talk for another 2 hours. I know this is way too much fun, but you know what? There's going to be more stuff coming because, you know, there's a blog called About Men Radio. Folks, if you're listening to this, you probably already know about the blog. I've heard about this blog. I think everyone listening to this right now should go to aboutmenradio.com and read all the stuff that's on there. It's updated regularly. I do it all myself. I'm going to take full credit. One else works on it. It's just me. I put different people's names on it. It makes it seem like, no,
CM?
Chris. Yeah, CM, exactly.
I know it. It's got to be one of the best written and edited blogs around.
It is, man. There's no question about it because I did it.
Yes.
Because I did it.
The contribution.
It was me.
Yeah.
Now, Chris kicks ass, takes names. There's no question about it. Chris, do us a favor. I'm not going to ask Silvio to take us out of here. Chris, do us a favor. Tell us what our email address is because, you know, I have no idea what it is.
Our email address is amr@aboutmenshow.com. You can find us on Facebook where we post videos, postings, links to our blogs, photos, quizzes, different invites for reader input. And we're also on Twitter where you can find us at aboutmenradio.
Twitter. And yeah, Twitter. John, that quiz was off the chain. I really like that quiz, man. That was great. Absolutely great. All right.
Wait.
Whoa.
Can I just say something real quick?
Of course.
Back in 1977, right after A New Hope, which it wasn't called A New Hope back then, it was just Star Wars. There was a geeky seventh grader who I knew who went ahead and made a quiz, photocopied it at the local library, even gave it to our teacher, Mr. Bazone, to take. And it was a pretty good quiz. And I wish I still had a copy of that thing. Chris, do you remember that?
I actually do. I did it on my typewriter.
You typed it out, yes. And then you went and you made photocopies of it at the library. And I remember I took it, Fig took it, Pedro took it, and you gave one to Mr. Bazone.
And as I recall, Silvio, I think you did the best of all of them, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
All right.
But points off for humility.
All right, folks. We got to go. Right. Chris, take us out of here, man.
All right, folks. Thanks very much for tuning in. God bless and may the Force be with you.
All right.